in Kovno, the Muslim movement became an elitist movement. It did not reach the middle class. It certainly did not reach the lower class. It became almost a sect. It had very, very strong enemies, not only the Maskilim, who were tipped off by the Maskilim in Vilna. The Maskilim in Vilna now realized that the Musar movement was their greatest danger, because the success of the Musar movement would destroy many of their weapons and many of their hopes. In a sense, it is comparable to what happened, as I mentioned to you, with Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch in Frankfurt, where Hirsch destroyed the basic weapon of reform. The basic weapon of reform was that if you were Orthodox, you couldn't live in the 19th century. You couldn't be anybody. And he proved that you could have an entire kahila that was as modern and as German and as successful as anyone else, and was as God-fearing and observant as their previous generations had been. That was Hirsch's great accomplishment. By the way, I misspoke on that tape of Hirsch. I think I mentioned that Hirsch was born in Hungary. Not Hirsch, Rabbi Breuer was born in Hungary, but Hirsch himself was born in Germany. But he was a Rav in Moravia for a period of time in Czechoslovakia before he came back to Frankfurt. But the same thing that Hirsch did in his way in Frankfurt, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was doing in his way in Lithuania. He took away the weapons of the Haskalah. You couldn't say that the Bali Musar were dishonest. You couldn't say they would cheat you on a penny. You couldn't say that they had no concern for their fellow man. You couldn't say any of those things. And once you couldn't say those things, then traditional Judaism looked a lot better. It did not look to be as an anachronism. It didn't look to be something whose time had passed. And therefore, Rabbi Yisrael and the Musar movement was perceived by the Maskilim as being a far greater danger to them than the ordinary mainstream of traditional Orthodox Judaism in Lithuania. They became sworn enemies of the Musar movement. They ridiculed the Bali Musar. They portrayed them in the most negative light. And as in every movement, there are people who are extremists or who go to extremes of behavior or of dress. So the Maskilim always picked on that as a way to portray the Musar movement as a wild-eyed sect, as people who were not normal, people who didn't belong in the world. But the truth of the matter was that the Musar movement did, to a great extent, stem the tide of Haskalah in Lithuania, at least, which almost threatened to destroy the entire Jewish structure there. Second enemy of the Musar movement was an enemy from within. And the enemy from within in Kovno had to do with the traditional Jewish establishment itself. They perceived Rabbi Yisrael as a danger, and they perceived that the changes that he wanted to bring about in education, in the form of behavior, even in dress, they saw all of that as unwelcome changes, and because of that, they opposed the movement. This struggle between the forces of Musar and against Musar lasted for almost 100 years. In the 1930s in Lithuania, it was still going on in certain areas, especially in Kovno, because in Kovno, that was the seat of the opposition to Musar, just as it was the seat of the Musar movement itself. Rabbi Yisrael had a different outlook on life. He just had a different outlook on life. He saw things with a different eye. The story is told that he had a famous disciple. I'm going to speak about it in a moment. But his famous disciple, Rabbi Yitzhak Blaser, Rabbi Yitzhak Petterberger, said that once he davened with Rabbi Yisrael Yom Kippur in a shul.